We're in Joshua chapter number 4. I'm going to begin reading in verse number 1 and just read down through the first few verses here and be able to share some things that God's put upon our hearts, and we can continually go back to this passage of Scripture. The Bible says in verse 1, "And it came to pass when all the people were clean passed over Jordan." Is that a southern term? I didn't know. They were passed clean over. And I just felt like it was a West Virginia thing. But clean passed over Jordan, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, "Take you 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe a man, and command ye them, saying, Take you hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones, and ye shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where ye shall lodge this night." Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared of the children of Israel, out of every tribe a man. And Joshua said unto them, "Pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of Jordan, and take ye up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according unto the number of the tribes of the children of Israel." So how many stones were there going to be? 12 stones. Yeah, a man out of every tribe that Joshua appointed, go down there into the Jordan River and get you a stone and put it upon your shoulder. So we're not talking a pebble. We're not talking a little rock. We're talking a stone that has to be carried upon the shoulder. Okay, according to the number of the tribe of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you. And I want you to see this phrase, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, "What mean ye by these stones?" Then ye shall answer them, that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord when it passed over Jordan. The waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. And the children of Israel did so as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones out of the midst of Jordan, as the Lord spake unto Joshua, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, and carried them over with them unto the place where they lodged, and laid them down there. And Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of Jordan, where the feet of the priest which bare the ark of the covenant stood, and they are there unto this day. As I read down through this passage of Scripture, and maybe this is why God has so burdened my heart over the years, that we see as we go across our nation, we see it around the world, we see that there has been tremendous and great and godly miracles and steps of faith that have been taken in the name of our Savior. And I'm so thankful for that. I'll give you a little bit of our heritage, and this is just from years gone past, that listen, this isn't just something new that God's putting on our hearts to just believe God for big things. I had a dad. Every one of us did. But I had a dad that believed God. I had a dad that took steps. And I've been reminded lately, and we're going to look in the passage of Scripture here. I've been reminded lately amongst some preachers, there's been some missionaries, there's been a phrase that's been put out there, no steps, no stories. No steps, no stories. And I had a dad, God had called him to pastor. He went off and went down to Lynchburg, Virginia back in 1973. Got some Bible education through a Bible institute, moved back to Topsom, Maine in May of 75, started a church in June of 75, a month later. He didn't know that you're supposed to train for a while and get under someone and have a mentor. He just had God said to do it, we're doing it. A couple years later, God allowed him to be able to purchase a piece of property, and they started praying. He said, "God, would you do something up here on this property?" It was 26 acres. Beautiful blueberry flats up there in Topsom, Maine. said, God, would you do something? Had a businessman that showed up there and he said, what are you doing on the property? He said, we're praying. He said, God's going to provide. He said, we're going to build a church building up here on top of this hill right here. He said, you got any plans? He said, not much. He said, is it going to be excavated and dug out? He said, as soon as God provides. The man looked at him. He said, I'll tell you what. He said, you have a fuel truck here every morning. And he said, I'll have a D9 here. Be here as long as you need it. And he said, it'll dig out everything that you need. You know what my dad did? Got on the phone, called up a fuel truck, said, I need a fuel truck here every morning, be able to load up this D9. That operator in that D9 was there till everything was completed. Started there building the driveway. And I guess that driveway was close to a half a mile up around that corner. Be able to get up there where it's flat enough, be able to build that church. And they put out the pad of that church and they said, well, just like it was said earlier to me, basement, when you're building a building, basement's cheap storage. It's cheap opening the way the ground land. He took that D9, he cut out that entire foundation and everything, had it all ready to be able to put in there. And listen, I can go on and on and on and start showing and telling stories about all of that. I'm just telling you right now that as a boy, that I had a dad that believed and knew that there was a God in heaven and knew that he would provide and take care of for everything that God ever ordered to be done. We've seen God do it. We come back thousands of years now. Here's what I like about Joshua, and we'll get into the scriptures. What I like about Joshua is he was faithful by the man of God for years. And he saw God do some great things. I believe he was close by because I believe he was the general in the national army of Israel as they wandered in the wilderness. I believe he was there talking with Moses about what are we doing? The nation of Egypt is coming up behind us. And Moses would say, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And I believe Joshua was close by to be able to see Moses step up there on the banks of the Red Sea and be able to stretch out his staff over that Red Sea and be able to see them waters part. And for God to be able to take the nation of Israel, listen, I still believe the Bible, where it says that they walked across on dry ground. I still believe that. I still believe they got to the other side. I believe Joshua was close by to be able to see Moses step up and say, okay, stretch your rod back over there. And the waters came back together and destroyed their army. And Egypt never caused them another problem. I believe Joshua saw as Moses, and we have the record of this, that as the tabernacle was built and established there, that there were times that it said that Moses departed from the tabernacle, but Joshua stayed there in the tabernacle in the presence of the Lord. He had seen God's presence as he was the only one that was allowed to be able to go up on the mountain. Remember when Moses was receiving the law of the Lord up there on Mount Sinai. You remember they had the camp down there at the base of the mountain. Joshua was able to go up part way. Moses went up on further. And I thought, what faith that Joshua had. Listen, he stayed there for 40 days waiting on Moses. Because Moses had said, I'd come back down. And we read throughout Joshua's life. And we read about that he was able to experience. He saw the great things of the Lord. Yes, he saw the obstacles. And yes, he saw the mountains. And he saw the giants that were over in the promised land. And listen, there'll be plenty of people that'll talk about the mountains. There'll be plenty of people that'll talk about the giants. There'll be plenty of people that'll talk about how rough the land is and the terrain that it can't be done. There'll be enough of those people. Well, I'm thankful God's given us some Joshua and Calebs. That they come back and say, yeah, we saw the same giants. Yeah, we saw the same land. Yeah, we saw the same mountains that were over there. But we also saw the power and provision and the promise of God. That God's laid it out in front of us. And Joshua was able to come back, be able to give that good report and be able to say, hey, God's promised it. Let's go take it. Of course, the majority's not always right. And they went and wandered in the wilderness, as God said, till the carcass of every one of them fell in the wilderness and died. And God took the next generation in. We have Joshua as he saw the end of the life for Moses. Joshua chapter number 1, we know that God comes to Joshua and starts it off and says, Moses, my servant is dead. Now, therefore, arise. In other words, Joshua, you're the one. Fill the shoes of Moses. He had been anointed. He had been set aside. He had been commissioned for this time to be able to lead the nation of Israel. And I want you to see in chapter number 3, let me read this and then we'll get to chapter 4 real quick. I have four words that are circled in verse number 3 of chapter 3. Because Joshua steps up and really gives some of his first miraculous commands to the children of Israel. He's giving them to the priests that bear the Ark of the Covenant. And he's saying, this is what we want you to do. And then he commands the people in verse number 3. And they commanded the people saying, when ye see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God. Now listen, let me explain this real quick. The Ark of the Covenant in the Old Testament was always symbolic of the presence of God being in their midst. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the priests, the Levites bearing it, this last phrase, then ye shall remove from your place, and this is just for me, but I circled it at the end of that verse, it says, and go after it. And there's been more than one time that God just put in my heart, hey, listen, here's something that's been placed before you, and it's time to go after it. And go after it. But I want you to see the next couple verses. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go, for ye have not passed this way heretofore. And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Let me share a couple of thoughts here as we look at this passage. I want to get to this to lead me up to Joshua 4. As we look in Joshua 3, Joshua is saying, this is the direction we're going. But Joshua understood, and he was sensitive to, there's a group of people here who haven't gone this direction before. There's a group of people, they've never stepped out. Hey, there were people that were going to cross the Jordan River that were not alive to cross over the Red Sea 40 years earlier. And he's saying, listen, we're going to have leadership out there. You understand, it was not Joshua that stepped out first to cross the Jordan River. It was the priests that bear the Ark of the Covenant, and then it was those that were supposed to go down and get that stone out of the midst of the Jordan River. And Joshua said, these priests that bear the Ark of the Covenant, they're going first. Now let me say this, there's going to be times, especially through this entire thing over the next several years, that you may have greater faith in your heart and life than what your pastor does. I may be looking at it saying, I don't know if I'd be the first one to step out there. Hey, God didn't send Joshua first, but there was a faithful group of men, the priests that bear the Ark of the Covenant. They're the first ones that stepped out and said, hey, we got the faith to take that step. But then there was that group that Joshua said, listen, I want you to follow those that are going first. You know why? Because you haven't passed this way before. And I found out this, there's some, especially in the starting of a church, you know, there's people that are not part of our church today because they hadn't been part of starting a church before. I tell you, it takes quite the pioneering spirit. It takes quite the easygoing spirit to be able to be part of a startup church that you may be meeting in this place one Sunday, but then all of a sudden that cancels and we got to get word out there and we're starting somewhere else. I'm thankful we have an established location now too. But can I say some of the things in the path that God takes us through, it may be a path and it may be somewhere that you've never gone down that path before. Can I say this? Tuck in real close to some that have gone that way before. I've sat down and talked to preachers that have gone before me to receive advice and to be able to receive wisdom. And one of them, when we were buying this piece of property, I had a pastor, he looked at me in his great words of wisdom, and I thought it'd be so comforting. And all he did was look at me and say, well, hey, buckle up. and just as gracious and loving as can be. Buckle up, it's quite the ride. And boy, you're going to see God do things, and you're going to see God meet needs, and you're going to see God provide. But I'm not telling you there's not going to be days that you're going to be saying, am I supposed to still be standing here in the middle of the Jordan River? Am I still supposed to be? And watching God do tremendous things. Listen, there are some that have experienced things like this before. Can I say this? Sometimes it's going to be your faith that's going to help someone else and be able to say, hey, God's done it before. He'll do it again. We've seen God over the years. I sat in the office of the Rock of Ages on Thursday and Friday down there in Tennessee before I flew home Friday night. I sat in that office and Dr. Ellis told about years ago, and I remember it vividly. God allowed us to be able to be a part of it, how God provided to just about be able to pay for the entire 72 acres of property that the Rock of Ages office sits on today. He did it through someone who was passing away and said, I want everything to be able to go towards a ministry. And it pretty well paid for almost that three quarters of $1 million piece of property. God took care of all of it right there. Can I say this? That was one of the first times. I understand about a D9 in a fuel truck, okay? That was one of the first times I've seen God do it on a scale like that. And I thought, you know, I want to be like Joshua. I've seen God do it before. And be able to say, we got a group of people that God's willing to be able to do it again. Now, here's the purpose of all of it. And here's what I want to have in our hearts and our lives as I was reading again afresh in Joshua chapter number 4. Do you understand what God was doing in establishing a memorial that is in the midst of the Jordan River? And it was on the west side of the Jordan River. Do you understand why God was doing all of that and had them get 12 stones and carry them to the other side? And why Joshua put 12 stones in the midst of the Jordan River? It wasn't for the generation that got to see it with their eyes. It was establishing something for the next generation to be able to experience. And I have been burdened for the most of my preaching life that if God would allow us to be able to see something established, and by God's grace, listen, if this is all, and I don't want to take this lightly, if this is all that it is, then praise the Lord, I'm praying this church stays as true and as faithful as can be till the Lord comes back. But if God would so be pleased and choose to be able to take us over into another place, it'd be a miraculous path to be able to get there. Walking through the Jordan River on dry ground when it's in flood stage, listen, that's big news. That would have been covered even by the fake news media. That would have been covered. Hey, I mean, this river's backing up. We don't understand it. What they couldn't see was the good hand of God that was holding back that water to be able to provide a way. Now listen, and what God already had in mind, and what Joshua already had in mind, is this is not just happening for you, but it's happening for the next generation. Because can I say this? I love hearing the accounts of the past. I love hearing about souls being saved in the past. I love hearing about church houses being full in the past. But we don't just serve a God of the past. We serve a God of the present and of the future. And listen, we got a lot of our young people that are here today. Some of them are out sick. We've got some young families that are just getting started and have just gotten married, just having babies. Listen, babies coming into the church, praise the Lord for it. But you know what I'm determining? And listen, as the pastor of Granite State Baptist Church, I want to see something established that when those kids are growing up, they have something to be able to go back to that's just as true, just as faithful, and just as solid as it was in 2013 when we started. I'm saying, Lord, by God's grace, would you allow us to be able to see something established and stand the test of time for the generations to come? You know, there's going to be a generation coming up behind us, and they're going to be looking at us and saying, what meaneth these stones? It grieved my heart this week. I was sitting there with Brother Ellis and talking to him about that area down there. Now, listen, that Chattanooga area, North Georgia, I mean, you've heard about the Bible Belt before. That's literally the buckle of the Bible Belt. When I lived down there, I Googled real quick just Baptist churches in Chattanooga, and 400 churches came up just Chattanooga. That's just that had Baptist in the name. I don't know what they preach. I don't know where they're at. Just Baptist churches with that name. 400 of them just in the city of Chattanooga. And as I sat there in his office on Thursday, he told me, he said, I know of at least four right now. He said, their doors just closed, never to open again. You say, well, COVID's wreaked havoc on a lot of things. Hey, listen, I'm not saying we ought to blame this on COVID if churches are closing their doors. Because I believe that probably just manifested a lot of things that were already present in the church and in the families and in the people that are there. But I want to say this. Do you know there's going to come a time that there's going to be some young people that will drive by them church buildings? And they'll say, what happened to that? What happened to that? They're not a church anymore? Hey, listen, it was just being told. He was talking about the Northwest, and you know about it here in the Northeast. There's churches closing all across our region, being turned into apartments. When church buildings are being turned into beer houses and liquor joints, we're heading the wrong direction. It ought to go the other way. Brother Shepherd preached pastored a church up in Winthrop, Maine. We were just talking about it a week and a half ago. Up in Winthrop, Maine, they went the opposite direction. They bought an old beer joint and turned it into a church. And now they've just built a new building out back there. I said, best thing they can do is tear that other building down. You say, oh no, they need the space. You haven't been in that church building. It was old and run down 30 years ago when Brother Shepherd was pastoring there. Souls being saved, church is growing. Thank the Lord for it. Just built a new church, 200-seat auditorium right out back of it. Hey, we ought to be going that direction for a generation that's coming up, seeing something established. And here's what I'm praying. Boy, I've got so much more preaching than I have time this afternoon. Because I was meditating this morning, early morning, on David and Solomon. And I thought David had in his heart to be able to build something for the Lord, but he didn't have enough time to be able to do it. And I got thinking about our aged generation that's around Granite State. And they may say, hey, I'm never going to see that. We put something up here on the wall today, and there's some. Now listen, if you did, it's human nature that looked at that and said, I'll never see that in my years. And you know something? That may be true. None of us are guaranteed. Listen, I may never see it. But I'm sure going to plan and go for it like we are. But there may be some. Listen, they may be walking the street of gold before that ever comes to fruition. And I get that. And that's what God told David too. He told David, he said, listen, you're not building the temple. You're a man of war. Your whole life has been about war. You've been running for your life. Listen, all of this down through there. And you know what David committed in his heart? He didn't go off over there in a corner and start pouting and put his lower lip out saying, well, bless God, if I can't build it and I can't see it, then I'm not going after it. I thought, no, David did all he could before he saw his Savior and said, I'll gather up everything that I can do and have it ready for the next one to be able to build. And then Solomon comes on the scene. Now, let me say this. I have no intentions whatsoever of waiting around for the next pastor to be able to build something. No intention. I'm not David. I'm praying. Listen, there may be some that sit there and say, we'll never see that. Well, you know what I'm asking and what I'm praying? I'm praying we'll have a crowd here at the church that says, I may never see it, but I'm going to do all I can to make sure the next generation has it. And I'm going to make sure we have something to be able to be handed down that is staying just as true to the Word of God. And some of you have been in places. Listen, they're not standing and they're not preaching and they're not in the same place that they were where you were 25, 30, 40 years ago. Can I say this? By God's grace, I'm praying God will establish something that the next generations will be able to come by and say, hey, and we'll be able to tell them about the power and the glory of God. Be able to establish something. What meaneth these stones? I thought about it, and some of you may not know. I know he's told the story to several people at the tour of the house 2 weeks ago, but I've thought about it all the time when I go over to the Donahoe's and I see those retention walls that are there. Pieces of granite, and you say, boy, they must have had a lot of money to buy all that granite to be able to use. No, you know what that is? That's from the previous generation. Pieces of granite that have been handed down. All those retaining walls came from the foundation of the previous house that was there. Be able to hand that down to the next generation and say, let me just tell you about these stones right here. This is where a little girl grew up. This is where grandparents lived. This is where they'd come. And over on this property, hey, that's where God started forming inside of a young lady's heart and eventually went over to Vermont, ended up marrying a guy from California. Get saved out in California, God will bring them back, build on that same property, be a blessing to Granite State Baptist Church. Hey, listen, I'm talking about establishing something that the next generations are going to be able to come by, that there's something that's there that outlasts long past when we're gone, that is still here for them to be able to come by and be able to say, let me tell you what God did right there at that place. No steps, no stories. They crossed the Jordan River. They saw God back up the waters, got to the other side. Here's 12 stones. Imagine the rejoicing that was around as those 12 where they're lodging. They're carrying them stones upon their shoulders. And they walk over and put them down where they're lodging. Joshua goes back down in the midst of the Jordan River while they're still standing there. Can you imagine that? We've been standing there all day. The Israelites are clean passed over. Joshua decides to come down in after they've been standing there all day holding the Ark of the Covenant. Joshua comes down and says, guys, just stand there a little bit longer. I want to be able to pack up 12 more stones right here and be able to raise a memorial. All for the point of remembering and rejoicing at what God's done in the past. He'll do it in the future. The God of yesterday is the God of today. And I want to encourage us. We dream big, but we can never outthink God. We can never dream bigger than God. And what God has for Granite State Baptist Church, I believe this, that He is desiring to show Himself strong on behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward Him. You're going to hear this term a lot over the next couple years. I'm praying God will help us build and establish a legacy for the Lord that will outlast every one of us. That grandkids, great-grandkids, family members, they can all come by. And I don't want our young people to say, that was my parents' church. That was my grandparents' church. I want them to be standing firm saying, that's my church. And what God has done there. Joshua 4, He established a memorial. What mean ye by this stone, by these stones? And forever, and we have it recorded in Scripture, that God said, and this was through Joshua, said, I just want them to remember what God did here. And can I encourage us to be praying and asking God, hey, God might use you. And I know we're not getting 12 literal stones. I mean, if we need to, we'll walk down to the river, get 12 stones, carry them up to the top here. We'll let the younger guys do that. I'm not getting 12 stones and establishing that. But I just wonder this. I wonder if there'd be some that'd be saying, God, let's get under the load. And be able to see something established that we can be part of that we're leaving for the next generation. I'm asking God for a generation that'll raise up and know the same God that we serve. We can sit back and talk about stories. I love sitting down with Brother Jackson. I love sitting down with Brother Shepherd. Just hearing the testimonies. If you're around them long enough, they're going to talk about things from years gone past. They're going to talk about that church they were in. And boy, they saw God do it. They're going to talk about this other soul that was saved. And boy, they saw God do it. You know what I enjoy doing? I enjoy talking with people in Concord about 2021 and what God's doing. Not just 50 years ago. I tell them about 8 years ago. I tell them when we started the church. I tell them when we bought this property. I tell them about buying that property. Probably four times in the past week and a half, I've heard someone pray that said, God, what we thought was a dead end, you miraculously have provided for that property next door. When we said, it's gone. Twice, didn't we, Brother Don? Twice. They said, it's under contract, it's gone, there's no hope. We kept praying. Said, God, if it be your will, well, I believe it's the will of God. And I want us to see God establish something beyond this for the next generations to be able to come. Keep doing what we're doing, but just do more of it. I wonder if God would use us and burden our hearts, saying, God, would you use me to help establish a memorial for the next generation? Use me. And Lord, if I'm not one to be able to carry the stone like David, Lord, help me to do all that I can to prepare them to be able to move forward with it. God deals with both generations in the Bible. And I'm thankful He helps us with that. I'm asking for God to give us a burden bigger than ourselves. A vision bigger than ourselves. But not bigger than God. You think He can do that? Think He can provide for that? Think He can meet those needs? If you think it's impossible, I'm just going to ask you one favor. Don't tell me. I respect opinions, but I just believe that we serve a big God. I believe we serve a big God. And if He wants it done, it's going to get done. And He's going to get the glory for it. He's going to get all the praise, and we're going to magnify His holy name. Amen. What memorials are you establishing in your life right now, maybe for the next generation to come? It's not just about a building. What are you establishing for your children, for your grandchildren, for your great-grandchildren that's going to outlast you? What are you establishing? That's only going to come from steps of faith. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we love you. I thank you for the Word of God. Lord, I thank you for the wisdom and what you put upon Joshua's heart. And Lord, he realized just in the crossing of the Jordan River that what you accomplished right there was bigger than just him. It was bigger than just that generation. But he said, this is so big, we need to make sure it's established to tell the next generations. And Lord, I'm praying in our hearts and lives, I'm praying that you'll burden our hearts. You'll equip us. You'll provide. You'll meet the needs most of all. For the generations to be able to come and for them to hear how great our God is, how powerful He is, how miraculous He can perform. And so, Lord, would you find a people right here in Concord that you would be so pleased to be able to work through to establish something for the generations to come? And Lord, we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.